Oh shit, boomer alert.
Already. Well, you know I picked the right game, right?
Right out of the gate. What did you guys want after the worst loss of the year? Two angry boomers sitting here telling you that this year's Celtics are frauds. They're last year's Celtics.
It felt that way, didn't it? It sure looked that way. John,
it did a little.
It was jarring looking at what they are today versus what they were yesterday. And they look like they did last year in the finals. Like, how do you not come into this game prepared? They weren't prepared, John. I don't care what anybody says. I mean, I'm not one for the whole, mic'd up players. I think it's real canned and annoying. But Marcus being mic'd up, like, they were talking about things they should have been talking about in practice or walkthrough. I mean, it was as if they went in and said, here you go. Just play how you've been playing and let's see what happens here and roll the ball out. I mean, they're not going to win against a team like the Warriors that way. 500 Warriors or not. They're still the champs.
It was, I'm going to try to not like lean too much on hyperbole talking about this game. I'm just going to talk about how I feel about this game. Okay. And again, I've used this phrase before, the PTSD with this team, when you've seen this version and it ripping your hair out and frustrated and, you know, watching Tatum just look overmatched and mentally owned.
Bad for him.
And you know, watch a team get out coached, watch a team be non prepared, watch a team get out physicaled, out hustled, all of that stuff. And then just to have these 2021 flashbacks or you know, last three games of the finals flashbacks. I didn't think I could feel that feeling watching this team anymore. I thought you'd have some games where they're like, all right, that game sucked, flush it. They couldn't hit their shots tonight. What are you going to do? This was everything that's bad about – everything that's ever been bad about this team rolled into a ball and just put on national television for the entire country to see. And I tweeted this, and I know people will freak out about it, Nick, because it is what it is.
I saw it, but, I think.
But, I'm saying – you know, every single thing that they've done this year and everything everyone has said about them, us included, you know, about how unstoppable they look and how its finals are bust and how this team's matured and their leaps and bounds better than last year. And it's real, it's real, it's real. All of that stuff, I'm not going to say completely undone, but a lot of people are going to question a lot of it now just based off of this game. And again, is it fair to flush a whole season based off of how you played in one game? No, but doesn't matter, Nick. You could go pick a bunch of fights in the schoolyard, win them, and then the bully who kicked your ass last year comes out and kicks your ass again. People are going to remember that ass kicking. That's who you are. You're the guy that's you're that guy, the guy who got his ass kicked.
And not only that, but the whole school was watching. It was in the schoolyard, right? Everybody was there going, fight, fight, fight. And Tatum was running, running, running. He was back on the bike, John. I've been hearing you guys saying a lot. Thank you, Dirk. A lot about they're unstoppable. And, of course, we've all thought this, but there's a couple things that worry me, John. Number one is, what happens when the scouting report comes out? We've seen every team once just about. Now we'll see them all once after the West Coast trip. Are they going to adjust? Of course they are. Are the Celtics capable of adjusting to the adjustments? Well, we'll see. That comes down to coaching.
Yeah, and there's two ways to look at it. The one way, the gloom and doom, holy crap, are they frauds? You know, is this who they really are? Can they revert back to this? Are they going to cave every time they get pushed around in the schoolyard by a bigger bully? Or the second one, which is, they got to be humbled every once in a while because they're flying a bit too high. And Dirk said it here, and thanks, Dirk, for the super chat donation here. I know others have said it as well in my mentions in this chat here. They needed it. They needed to be humbled a little bit. How they respond off of this is by far the most important thing. But if you see them kind of spiral, like the Celtics have given teams this year like a Celtics flu. You play them, they expose you, you look really friggin' crappy. Then you go out and you play like crap for a couple more games because you're like, oh, maybe I'm not that good. You know, you kind of... You know, the worst, your worst demons come out. The Celtics come back out, go back to what they were doing. They didn't do anything that they normally do or that they've done all year. They did nothing that resembled anything that this Celtics team has done. And credit Golden State. They have a great system. They're well coached. Defensively, they're great. They throw a lot of bodies at Tatum. They're constantly moving. They make it so it's really difficult to, you know, get quality
but
shots.
Yeah, we saw this for six games in June. There was nothing different tonight. They had more energy. They had scrambling defense. They were running guys at Tatum. No adjustment at all. Like, run flash Tatum to the – post him up, I mean, on the high post and let him find people out of the double team. I mean, none of it seemed – it looked like last year. And then, John, I can't help but think they were unprepared tonight. This was a massive coaching malfunction for Joe Mazzulla. I don't like to blame Tatum. I'm not going to blame him. I mean, he whimpered, right? He looked at that Tatum that kind of collapses when you see once every time they play the Warriors. But Joe Mazzulla had them unprepared today. They were unprepared. They came out of a freaking timeout and turned the ball over.
They did. I hate doing it for the coach. I think in game Joe wasn't able to make adjustments to what Golden State was doing. But I just think right out of the gate, they just didn't do what they normally do. They went for ISOs. They were dribbling into traffic. They were doing all this stuff. It's amazing they only had a couple turnovers early because they weren't doing what they've been doing offensively. It really was shades of the 2021 offense, which is whip it around the perimeter. And then one thing the Celtics have been great at this year, Nick, is they don't take a lot of shots late in the clock. They work it, and they get the first good shot they see, they take it. They weren't able to find good shots against Golden State. Golden State was swarming them. It was making it tough, and they were just forcing the issue. First, Jaylen Brown, who had a good game, you know, Brogdon had a good game. That's it. Everyone else, Derek White, oh, my God. Like, this was every bit of last year's Derek White. He was a mess. You could see his shot falling a foot short right out of his hand. He was in his head all night. Tatum was in his own head all night. He couldn't figure it out. They just got mentally dominated tonight.
And the one guy that came focused and locked in, Jaylen Brown, just didn't have the ball enough in the places where he could make it happen even more to take them over the edge. Every time it seemed like the Warriors were pulling away, Jaylen had hit a big shot, and then they go away from him. 2021, John. It's 2021 all over again. As you would say, the bad Celtics showed up.
Yeah, that's the worry, Nick, is like even during that stretch last year, you know, they start the year 2021 and blah, 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 and then everything turns around. Even during that stretch near the end of the game, near the end of the year, you know, the second half of the year, it was always like, is this real? Are these guys real? Or is it the other thing? And I mean, they made the freaking finals. It's really hard to criticize ultimately what was real and not real. But you see the team that they were against the Warriors. And you know, that's why everyone reacted the way they did in the offseason is this team's got a lot of freaking problems, you know? And all year long, I'm like, I don't get how they solved their problems. It's the same guys with like 2 months off. I don't understand how this team's so much better. It makes no sense. I don't believe that each one of them has evolved so much in such a short period of time that they've taken things to new levels. You know, you added Brogdon, which was great, but you're still playing without Rob. It didn't make sense. It doesn't compute. Why are they so good? And a lot of it was approach and mentality. They were just playing a different style of basketball and committing to it. They went away from it completely tonight, and they just got freaking punked. I mean, punked by Golden State. Yeah.
All I can say is thank God they're playing Monday because that's and obviously only one Noel, day no Rob, talk radio. Yeah,
exactly.
Who were they missing? Wiggins. What do you call it? Wiggins. So, and that should have been the Tatum stopper right there. I mean, Tatum should have said, oh.
No, it's beyond that. It's Tatum's, and again, against this team and Draymond, you know, like,
he's so exhausting. I know.
Yeah.
How does Steph Curry find open shots all night?
Well, that was the other thing is that's what's annoying, Nick. It wasn't just everyone's going to go talk about approach on offense, and that's fine. Meaning they kind of went away from it. It was weird. They didn't play their game. But all night long, they were doing, you know, bad, you know, you don't have your bigs here. You don't have Horford, which hurts. They're playing drop coverage. They're giving them a ton of open looks. Clay gets hot early. But I was just more – that's a strategy. I was more upset with the standing around. They were just standing there. I mean, in a lot of different ways, both offensively and on defense, just standing, not getting out on shooters, not closing out, going under screens. Marcus was going under screens all freaking night. I mean, you know, and just allowing these shots. And then the thing that killed me was those back-to-back leakouts there for the transition buckets, where Brown, but Tatum was in there too. The second one was straight up Brown. How do you fall asleep on that shit two times in a row? That's like Joe's first angry timeout of the year. That's just.
And then they came out of that timeout and turned it over. Jalen bailed them out. Not the next time down the court.
You're just not. Your head's just not in the friggin' game when you do that. Thank you here again for the super chat. Yes. Don't play the friend thing.
Yes, please.
All right. The Garden Report, as always, is brought to you by our exclusive wagering partner, Bet Online. Bet Online remains your number one source for all your sports betting needs, from football and basketball this season. You will always find the latest odds, team matchup info, player news, and game trends at Bet Online. Always your continued source for sports wagering information. BetOnline features live betting, free contests, live scores for almost any sport or game imaginable. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite NFL, NBA, NHL, MMA, tennis, boxing, and even golf games and events. So head to betonline.ag to join and receive your 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. It's a terrific deal. Just use that promo code CLNS50. Again, betonline.ag, you get a 50% welcome bonus with your initial deposit. Use that promo code CLNS50 to receive your rewards. Bet online, where the game starts. Don't do that. Somebody tweeted this at me, but I missed it. The Draymond hit the deck and Tatum picked him up during one time.
Give us some confirmation there, because I missed it. While
the play was going on, yeah.
Oh, don't give me that, please.
Yeah. I think it wasn't even a dead ball. It wasn't a whistle. He helped him up while, like, Golden State was going off in transition the other way. It was like a live ball situation. And a couple people were like, what was that? But I was scrambling to get ready for the show and move all of my stuff into the room. So I missed it and I didn't get a chance to rewind it. Tim Shields, our terrific producer, indefatigable Tim Shields, up with us all night long. West Coast, doesn't matter. Confirms to me it did happen. It was live, in the words of Tim. So, yes.
Even the reaching, no physicality, they were getting pushed around by a basic finesse team. I mean, 10 more rebounds. I'm sorry, almost 20 more rebounds out rebound, 20 more rebounds than the Celtics.
Yeah.
Offensive rebounds, their guards were pulling down offensive rebounds. They were talking, they were playing like they lost in the finals.
Yeah.
The Warriors.
Yeah. The whole, like, oh, we, you know, this motivation.
But this summer burned my gut. Oh, this is your first fucking opportunity. Are you
kidding
me?
We don't do that on this show. This is a wholesome show.
I'm saying it's
Boomer Gelso in the house. Yep. Super chat. Just to call you a boomer loud.
There you go. I even have my green lights on here. Yeah. I look like Kermit the Frog in a flannel.
Yeah. Yeah, bad. A lot of people are putting it entirely on Tatum. I'll put a lot of it on Tatum, but a lot of things there too. Like, I think a lot of people got in their own head. Smart was just bad, just bad. Grant sitting around up faking all the time, driving into nowhere land, and then just kicking it out to people that were in worse position than he was before the pump fake, and before he got into the lane. In both cases, he didn't know what he was doing. Derek White never seemed to really want to shoot. He just shot because he had to, because he was open. And each time he did it, you could see he was aiming it and he was in his own head. He went to the basket late that one time and then, like, forgot to jump. Like, I don't know. I mean, he didn't look like he wanted to be out there at all. It was like Derek White's game was like that flashback, you know, when you, like, you think back to when kids were making fun of you when you were a kid, and you're like, and like, that's what he was like in his head the whole time.
But he's another one, John. Draymond Green in the finals trolled him. He trolled him on his podcast, on the basketball court, in the press conferences. If I'm Derek White, who's having the season that he's having, which he's been playing great, I'm coming out there wanting to kill. And he came. They all walked. You know who showed up, John? Blake Griffin showed up.
Yep. For as long as he could.
I mean, 13 points, 4 or 5 from the field. I mean, was he a difference maker? No, but he came to play. He was physical. You know, and then I'm not doing it. Like, one of my buddies who's been a longtime viewer and listener of the show called me in the middle of the game. I knew he wanted to bitch about the refs. I'm not doing it. They sucked. The Celtics were worse. They didn't start going to the basket until the fourth quarter. And when they did it like flinging the ball. Like, it was just flailing. And that Tatum bad body language. I could keep going and going. I'm not going to. I'm trying to find some bright spots here. But there were none. There weren't any.
There were none.
They're punked on national television while they're raising number 6 to the rafters. Our guy! They're raising his number up to the rafters. That should piss them off.
So, somebody said something to me the other day. It was, you know, interesting as well. Everything is going great for the team. And they're playing in a way where they're complimenting one another. And they're playing together and everything is great. And it's unlocked some of the skills of, you know, a lot of different people. And it's unlocked the best version of Tatum, and Tatum has been playing overall the best ball of his life. But someone got it, you know, it got at me. It might've even been in the chat and was like, they still don't have that guy, like the guy who's like the guy with the ball in his hands. And all you have to do is just get out of his way when he has the ball in his hands, the Luka or the Steph, which is, and then they're just creative and intelligent and above all else, and will make it all happen on their own by sheer, you know, force of will. And like arguing that, while the Celtics have supremely talented players, they're still lacking that guy. Like, Milwaukee is, for that matter, too. You know, in the sense of, like, Giannis isn't always that guy. Sometimes he defers to others in the clutch as well. I don't know that that's necessarily the case, because I think Tatum was kind of trending in that direction. But those games where he can get taken away and taken out of his game, which you haven't seen many of this year, but you see a game like tonight, is always the thing that people will be like, that shouldn't happen. You know, that shouldn't happen to the A1 alpha, to be completely taken out of a game and to look lost and to look frustrated and confused. Like, yeah, bad shooting nights happen, but to look like you don't actually know what you're supposed to be doing and be off all night and just have to get into that whole thing where the offense affects your defense and you're not getting back and you're doing things that when he got yammed on in the friggin' on the baseline there, that was a good defensive play that he gave up on because he thought the ball was out of bounds and then stopped. Like, he just kind of kept, he just too many starts and stops with him tonight where he really took himself completely out of the game.
And you know what else was happening here, John, at the end of the game, and getting all the texts from everybody. Tatum's not an MVP. Tatum's not an alpha. It's
everyone jumped quick. I still disagree. I disagree too. Yes,
I agree. Yeah, I agree with you, John.
This night throws, kind of right.
Well, it's hard to defend him then. After a night like tonight, it's hard to say, yeah, you know, you're wrong, because he did the exact same thing he did 6 months ago.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought the burn in the belly, all summer I had to deal with this. I thought we were going to see something complete. You know what I thought we'd see? You know, like, I'm not even going to go there. I'll be boomerized. So I'm not even going to say what I thought I'd see. But I thought it was going to be fire in the belly. I thought it was going to be, even in the second half, I figured, okay, they'll go on a run here. They'll go on a run. They have all year. They've been able to flip the switch. The only team they've really, really had problems with is Cleveland. I'm thinking this is, but it's the 500, but they're still the Warriors. Klay Thompson was out of this world. I mean, they were hitting shots, but the defense was slow. There wasn't the switching. And then here we go. Tatum is not that guy. And Bobby was right about the defense. Well, but John, I could keep going and going and going. I'm gonna throw to you, but otherwise it's just going to be me bitching the whole time.
No, it's going to be both of us bitching. I mean, there's just not much to say. The question is just simply, like with everything, is it real? Like, is this a problem? I know people are talking about the defense. I'm not arguing that defense doesn't matter. I'm arguing that when this team wants to play defense, this team is capable of playing defense. They did not get bad defensively overnight. They are coasting a little bit, as many dominant teams do, especially one that's playing offensively like they are. They don't need to put as much effort on defense because they're just killing people. It's not that I don't think defense matters. Of course it matters, but you'd rather have a team's have an offensive identity and be able to turn on their defense when they need it than have a defensive identity, but when the other team start playing defense, you can't score a freaking bucket like they couldn't do in the finals last year. That's scarier. I'm confident that this team can find their defense when they need it, particularly when they have at least one of their two bigs in the lineup, which they, of course, didn't have tonight. So certainly that makes a difference, you know, but yeah, whatever. I'm going to throw up this super chat. Yes, Joe got out coached. We're not going to argue with that. Thank you very much for the contribution.
Badly.
Yes, badly. Badly out
coached. I know you don't like to blame coaching, but it was glaring today.
Yeah, super chats. Sorry, Nick. Super chats are nice, but they don't pay all the bills, of course, right? They are nice. And
they pay your bills.
Those of you contributing to the Super Chats, we'd like to thank you very much. We do appreciate it. The money goes to all of the hosts, none of them to Nick, even though he's hosting tonight. He has guaranteed he is to pocket none of this money, none of this money. But we do have several sponsors we have to tell you about. We're going to start with Rocket Money. What is it? It's that thing. It's that app. It's that app that gets rid of all your unwanted subscriptions, of which I have dozens, and I realized it after using Rocket Money, and I couldn't believe some of the stuff I was still paying money for. Are you wasting money? Yes, you are. 80% of people have subscriptions they completely forgot about. I'm one of them. Most people think it's about $80 a month that they're spending on subscription sites.
Mine's
it's
like 200.
It's closer to 200, and I'm over 200. It's insane because I think the pandemic just snapped my brain, and I started friggin' I subscribe to everything, and I still have a million of those, and that's what's happening right now. So the app, what does it do? Consolidates all the subscriptions in one place, cancels for you, goes right to the source, cancels it, done. You're not paying anymore. So get rid of useless subscriptions with Rocket Money now. Go to rocketmoney.com/garden. Seriously saves you hundreds of dollars a year. It's well worth the investment. rocketmoney.com/garden. Please do that. Anybody who supports any of our sponsors and can show me proof gets a Nick Gelso designed and generated garden report t-shirt. And that's what we like to give out here. So we will absolutely do that. Back to the game. And again, the Rocket Money thing, holy crap. I had no idea, Nick, until I dialed that up.
John, I almost just
canceled both credit cards. I almost canceled all my credit cards just
to do it over again.
So I would default on everything and only renew the ones that I wanted when they started sending me things, because that's what I thought I would have to do. Don't do that. Get this instead.
John, I had 3 BSJ memberships active. I'm not kidding. 3. 3 different usernames. I guess 3 different emails. I don't know, but I've been getting charged 3. Thank you, Greg Bedard.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Rocket Money, because now I only have 1.
Yes, that is good. So we're back. Just to let you know, Bobby Manning is, and let me make sure. Hold on one second. Bobby Manning is at Golden State, and he's in San Francisco. He's gathering some post-game sound. He will join us in a little bit. What do you mean I'm to blame? Yeah, I'm Mr. Optimist is the reason they lost. Me saying they were the greatest team.
Bobby was right. I've been seeing a lot of Bobby was right. Yeah, how many superlatives will there be on the negative side tonight?
It's so funny. Bobby's going to take a victory lap over a loss. That's so...
He takes victory lapses when Toronto wins.
It's so random. I don't know where else to go with it, Nick, other than like...
They suck. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding.
No, but like what's it take to wash it away? Like if they go out and they smoke the 2 LA teams, that still doesn't wash it away for me.
But John, if they lose to the Lakers... on national, I think that's nationally televised too. If they lose to the Lakers, then that I don't know if that still matters. It does to me. Then I'm going to be really pissed. I'm going to start going there gutless. And then the boomerage comes out, because you can't throw up two consecutive stinkers on national television, one against the team that punked you in the finals and the other against your arch rival. They better win against the Lakers.
I feel no rage, truthfully. I'm just shocked. I did not expect I didn't think they were capable of a performance like this, for real. Like, I thought, like, you could have a bad shooting night. Golden State's a tough team. They play really well at home. You might lose a game. It'll be competitive. It'll be an annoying frigging loss, but whatever. And then you'll grit your teeth and be like, all right, get them next time. I did not expect straight up game four, five, six vibes. I did not expect that. I never thought that could happen to this team. And I wonder what they're thinking and feeling right now. And I'm curious when Bobby gets out of the locker room.
I can't wait to hear the fire in their gut.
What they're saying, because I mean, you know, I know Tatum will take it on himself. He's a very accountable guy. And that makes sense. But
and Brown gave everything he could. I mean, there's not really much that he could say. I mean, Marcus really, Derek White really, Al was missed more, I think, just as a big body, right? I mean, Blake did as good as he could. He had a good game filling in, but he's not going to be the presence that Al Horford is. Al's also a calming force, and they sorely missed that tonight. I thought it was really, really, again, I don't like when the – not that I don't like. I just don't pay attention when the players are mic'd up. It's not that important to me. I think it's real cliche shit, but – Marcus told a lot in that one. I mean, he starts saying basic things when you're playing the Warriors. Basic. And they're doing this on the fly. I mean, again, was there a walkthrough today? Did they have a walkthrough? Did they not watch film from the finals? This was the same games. Like, just put it right back. Transport this game back to June, and you have tonight's game. You didn't even have to play. Yeah. So I just felt like Tatum was going to come out and score 50. And if they lost, it was going to be, like you said, an annoying loss where they really fought hard. I know that's cliche, but, and you know, it was down to the wire. This was embarrassing.
Yeah. So let's talk about it. Cause right now, a lot of the post game stuff coming out is about, you know, people defending Tatum. Malcolm Brogdon saying, like, obviously, no, we still have tremendous faith in Tatum. Mazzulla saying, no, he doesn't have to do anything different. It was me. Coaching has to be better, which is good. I love the accountability there. We'll bring in Bobby and get his takes on things as well. Bobby Manning in Golden State. Bobby, you're out of the locker room. We're talking about Tatum. I saw some guys, you know, defending him. I heard Joe Mazzulla also saying, like, we got to coach better. It's not on him. What's the general reaction to overall just this stinker of a game, but in particular, Tatum's absolute, you know, just dog shit, no-show performance?
Yeah, it feels a little protective of him after this one, because you see the lack of involvement between the first and the second quarter, and I'm sure some of that goes back to coaching and their approaches, but I saw guys throughout the game trying to get him the ball. There was one play in particular where he was matched up against Michael Green and just kind of like hesitated, threw it to Brogdon. He fired off a three, and those are the kind of sets you were seeing from the Celtics tonight. Uncomfortable by the fourth quarter. I thought they looked rattled, and Tatum just disappeared for large stretches, and that was the story of this one for sure. He missed some tough shots in the lane. They were really loading up on him in there, so I'm sure that's what Joe looks at, and it's like, all right, we had to find some ways to shake that. And this certainly wasn't all on Tatum. There were some guys up and down the lineup who were just terrible in this one, but this is a tough one for Tatum given the finals he had, given the issues he had in this building against this team. You really want to have a comeback performance, and instead this one looked just like what we were watching in June.
And that's the thing, it was so eerily similar, both in terms of Tatum's struggles and Brown being like, okay, I'll just do it myself. And again, you had a lot of people off those finals being like, well, you know, Brown wasn't deterred by their defense, because again, Brown has that thing that Tatum doesn't, which serves him really well, is that extra gear.
Heart?
No, he's just got
That was a joke.
He's got that extra level of athleticism where he can physically just get there better than Tatum can, where Tatum has to make his moves and kind of get his way into the lane, and he's, you know, get himself set for the finishes that he wants to do. And when you throw a lot of bodies at him like they were doing tonight, he gets thrown off a little bit, and that's what happened to him. But yeah, it didn't look like he knew where he wanted to go, whether he wanted to get into the lane, where he wanted to go with the ball. There are times late in the clock where he had the ball and he's like, I got nothing. And then he'd give it to somebody else. It's just a strange overall performance. He didn't really seem comfortable at any point in time with really any of the way the game was going.
Yeah, Bobby, and that's what the Warriors want to do. Go ahead,
yeah. Bobby, I think that they were getting Tatum the ball, but they weren't really doing anything to get him open or put him in positions to make plays. I mean, they were just – it was more of that get Tatum the ball, double team at the three-point line, let him dribble, and hopefully find an open guy on the three-point line. So there's nothing advancing towards the basket, and that's something that's alarming because I thought we cured that. I thought that was now a thing of the past.
Yeah, and I think some of the rotations hurt them in that sense. Like, Blake was rough in this one. Those Luke minutes where they went deep into the second unit were just a disaster early in that first quarter. So a lot of times Tatum was off the ball, and that's been successful for them so far this year. But they weren't able to involve them. Like, I think there was some ball denying going on. I'd say that there was definitely a lot of rushing guys off the line and making them
blitzing those
yes, tough decisions. And you saw it with Grant. Grant really got rushed off the line, and different guys who had the ball in their hands were rushed. This wasn't the greatest smart game. I thought he was erratic at times. Brogdon settled them down, but no one else really could. And Tatum, he got lost. And I think, you know, there'll probably be possessions where he looks back and says, I had to go get the ball in that spot and try to make something happen. And unfortunately, a lot of times they just got stalled before they could even get him a touch. I mean, he literally didn't touch the ball for like the first 3 minutes of the second, right, John? Based off what I saw there, and he didn't shoot the ball until about 6 minutes into the second. So he was a non-factor there, and then later he just missed a lot of shots. So this is tough. I mean, like, it was a return to the old Celtics essentially offensively in this one, and the Warriors were able to make them look so uncomfortable, so rattled at times, and every quarter seemed to get worse. Like, the ball just started flying around more and more. Turnovers increased into that second half. No one could really find a way to settle them down outside of Brown and Brogdon.
Did you feel that they looked almost ill-prepared coming into this game? I mean, I think that almost from a standpoint of watching them, I knew kind of what the Warriors were going to do tonight. Why did it seem like the Celtics didn't?
Joe's thing on that was that they hadn't seen defense like this season. Like, it felt like they did some things in terms of the help and those closeouts, the hard closeouts that they hadn't been used to. Like, I think a lot of things came easy for them. And you definitely saw that with Tatum. You definitely saw it with Brown. Like, Brown had a great game. They were tough shots. Game. Went into the mid-range, hitting shots over guys. Guys right in his body, he was able to get them off over and still hit them while drawing some contact there on a couple of free throw opportunities. But everything else was tough for them. I mean, again, those possessions where they got the ball to shooters and the Warriors were right there, those were really difficult spots for the Celtics to make plays out of. And the one thing, you know, you talk about, like, wasn't there for them schematically, Nick. Like, you didn't see that off-ball movement and all that off-ball screening and just the different activity that they've done to start this year. And that falls on the players because, again, we know this team isn't going to call a lot of plays. We know it's a lot about them finding a flow and activity. And you saw them trying to communicate and settle themselves at certain times, but they weren't able to get into sets that calmed them down and made the Warriors, playoff balance. And I think the big one in this one is that they didn't get those quality looks at the rim. Like, Griffin, he had a few dump-off makes that were good, but you think of Luke and the minutes he wasn't able to play, and Grant playing out in the perimeter. Like, Grant went at the small guys like once in this one. You didn't have Horford. Brown and Tatum were seeing crowds at the rim. So, like, who was going to step up, give them some really good looks at the rim while the Warriors were really pressuring the perimeter? You missed the potential Rob return in this one, certainly. Like, he's a guy that could have done that. And, you know, Grant was in for them.
I mean, yeah. We could have seen more Brogdon, maybe.
More Brogdon at the – I thought Brogdon put a lot of jump shots up. And, again, that's the story of this one. Like, tough shots. Those two made them. Other guys didn't. And it just ended up being a really dreadful shooting performance for them up and down the lineup. Yeah,
Did the crowd rattle them a little bit?
Again, I think it spiraled on them, and it wasn't the crowd, but the crowd really capitalized on it when they started missing free throws and White hit the side of the basket. Again, that's stretch right. In the second half. Like, it really looked like things got tense out there for them, and they were rushing possessions in ways that we hadn't seen them. That play where Smart just kind of threw the ball away on the fast break, I think of. There were moments in this game that were so uncharacteristic of what we've seen from them.
That's what I mean, Bobby. I did not believe I could feel. Again, I said this game was as much about feeling as it was, you know, whatever, anything else. I did not expect to feel this way about this team this year. I thought it was, I didn't think it was in them. Like, losses like they've had a few times this year are games where they haven't played at their best and squeaked out wins, which are very few, obviously. You're like, okay, they didn't shoot well tonight. This wasn't their best game.
Uh-oh. We lost him, Bobby. We lost you, John.
My mic cut out for a second. I didn't think that we could see the game 4-6 Celtics reappear again to look like they had no idea what they were doing, letting offense affect defense, not getting back on defense, standing around.
Oh, they got
not
killed in transition.
Out.
Yeah.
How was Steph Curry open for his favorite shots all night long? I mean, he had carte blanche. He took whatever shots he wanted to, whether it was at the basket or 40 feet away. I just don't understand. It's Steph Curry and Klay Thompson.
Yeah.
Not prepared? I just don't get it.
I think they were a little unpredictable offensively, and they really kept the Celtics off balance. I mean, they came into this game 6th in offense over this recent stretch here over the past month or so, and they've been at that elite level right there with the Celtics on that end. And you just see the way they execute, doing things that I think the Celtics want to do, but weren't able to do in this game. And like, they just have such a good sense of like where the defense is, reacting, going to secondary plays if that first play doesn't work. And that's what you saw them.
Team.
Yeah, that's where you saw them get in between. Jordan Poole was great. Steph went in between when he needed to, but also stepped way back for his classic threes. And Klay, I mean, this guy, like, he missed a lot of open shots in this game. He struggled again to start, I thought. But he goes downhill. He finds different places on the floor to score from when that three isn't there for him. Mm-hmm. He's resilient, and he defended like crazy. Mm-hmm. And I thought that's something that the Celtics really – to John's point before he left there, slipped up with. As they started playing worse on offense, their defense slipped, and those transitions just killed them. Yes.
Oh,
and it spiraled on them.
Row. Yep.
Yeah.
Bobby, were they
Kuminga
were there
running
any
back
just,
line?
Oh, Kuminga was – he was brutal tonight. But when in the locker room or on the podium, was there talk about, you know, the fire in the gut they felt all summer? You know, that's what they were talking about.
We still haven't heard from the players yet here, but again, I thought Joe took an interesting approach there in terms of like deflecting blame off the players and putting on the coaches. It sounded Brad-like. You think that's the right approach?
I do. I mean, I think it's right because they looked unprepared. I think that really was the case. I think they looked unprepared, Bobby. It looked like they were going up. They walked into the arena as if they were going up against, you know, just any average team and not the team they faced in the NBA Finals and lost last year on their own court. And to have the kind of mistakes that they had, and I was saying earlier before you popped on, and you don't know because you were there, but on broadcast, and I'm not one for the mic ups of the players, they're cliche and stupid. This one was really telling. I mean, Marcus Smart was spouting off basic fundamental things that Golden State does, like that the viewer at home knows, like we've got to do this. Why are they coaching? Did they have a walkthrough yesterday? Today?
They practiced yesterday. Yeah.
I just don't understand how they could come into this game. What, you don't think Joe Mazzulla got them before the game and said, you need to show these guys that you were punked last year. That wasn't the team you are. This is the team you are.
And that's fine.
And more importantly, strategically, it just seemed like they weren't ready.
Yeah, and that's why I think it's tough if you're that coaching staff to give the players all the credit, say that they're the ones kind of making things happen on the floor, calling plays, you know, executing these different sets, and then turn it back when they fall short and say, oh, this is on the coaching staff and the preparation and all that. Like you said, there's no way that they weren't ready for all the different sets and actions that the Warriors were going to run there. And Joe Mazzulla said it himself, they were trying to give up some of those long shots. Like, they dropped Blake. They, you know, we're going to live with those Curry bombs and some of the tough shots that Klay hit. But they had to erase those breakouts, the transition plays you talk about, the mistakes. Mm-hmm. And that is the one spot where I do think he veered a little bit towards saying that the players lapsed a little bit in this game. And you start there. If we are going to hit on the coaching staff, I thought the rotations got pretty erratic in this one. Like, that bench unit came in the first half, minus 11. And then what were they trying from there? Grant at center, mm-hmm. Pritchard came in the second half trying to save them. Like, they just completely went away from their rotations. And it was tough, right? No Horford in this game. He's central to everything you're going to try to do with switching against a team like this. Like, Blake switching on the perimeter, it's not going to happen. Cornett, he's not going to get out on shots. The Cornett contest isn't going to work against Steph Curry. So I saw at one point, like, Tatum pointed at Cornett and it looked like they kind of like miscommunicated something there. And then they went smaller and the Warriors took them to the interior. So like you said, Nick, it's that topic of resiliency and experience and just having the flexibility that the Warriors did to be able to react to everything that the Celtics tried against them. And the Celtics didn't quite have that same ability to score resiliently on offense. Their offense just collapsed. I get you. Everything we've seen them do this year disappeared tonight.
Bobby, I hate to say it, but it looked like live with the three, die with the three. You know, I know that's an old school. John, you got a terrible.
I think we're getting a little echo, John. Yeah.
Just mute yourself. I got you. Okay, cool. You know, and that's cliche at this point too. The Barkley live and die with the three, but tonight was the first time this season, remarkably, after how many games, that the three was just not going. And then, again, I do think it has a lot to do with preparation because you come in less rattled when the opposing team runs at you when you know what's coming. And I find it hard to believe the coach didn't have them ready for the basic stuff, but it just seemed like it was a winger. Like, they were just like, we're the Celtics. Here, throw the ball out. We're Boston. You know,
well, I think some of that's the unpredictability of the Warriors. If we're talking about the defense, right? Because all these different motions and directions they're going in. Like, there's times where it's like Curry and Klay in the middle, and you're obviously keyed in on those guys, and they run a play for Kuminga in the corner. And it's all just like Kerr's not drawing up all this stuff and calling it out on the sideline. Like, these guys just have feels for each other. They've connected. They've gone through a lot of growing pains, obviously, this year to get these young guys up to speed. But to be able to have DiVincenzo have a big game like he did, and Kuminga, as you mentioned, those guys were great. I thought some of the young guys really stepped up for them in this game, and Curry and Thompson were at the top of their games too. So all that just kind of piled up on the Celtics. When you're giving them breakouts and easy looks in transition on top of all that, it's going to be a flood. And they got blasted defensively in this one. And you know, the offense was bad too. I think that's probably where you start, because that fed into their defensive issues. But it goes back to what I've been talking about, Nick, that kind of just up and down defensive stature of this team throughout the year. It feels like they've lost their identity on that end a little bit, even though they worked their way back to ninth in the league coming into this game.
Yeah. Now the question is, Bobby, the real test is forthcoming, because, you know, you meet adversity here. You're going to have Monday, you know, everybody's going to, all the talking heads are going to be going at them, calling them frauds. You know, it's coming. Fake best team, which is kind of silly. I don't believe that, but we got to see how they're going to test with adversity now, with a little bit of criticism. Are they going to come out the pissed off Celtics and just demolish the LA teams, or are they going to play, you know, come out pouting? And that's going to be the answer to is this team real or not, at least in my head. Because if they bounce back fast, you say, okay, that was just a drop in the bucket. They'll make an adjustment. And the other thing I said to John, Bobby, is we're going to be now turning the corner to where every team will have had at least one look at Joe Mazzulla's offense, right? So now the scouting report is out. So how are they going to adjust to that as well? And don't forget about the Nets. The Nets are suddenly playing very well. So, you know, all this added up.
You still haven't seen Milwaukee yet. Yeah.
You want to see
Milwaukee? There's teams out there that can hang with that. You know, you're not expecting Chicago to get into the mix, but that's the team that's challenged them. Cleveland will be in the mix, and that team has beat them twice now. You think Milwaukee can probably hang with them. And the Warriors now certainly are a team that if they can get back to the finals, and the West seems wide open, Steve Kerr just said it, like there's no team running away with the West right now. They like where they're at. I think this team could very well be there in the finals if the Celtics are able to get back there. And, you know, you're going to have some tough matchups that you're going to have to be able to adjust and have some flexibility to be able to play in. I think they've done a good job with that overall this year. They've beaten a lot of different kinds of teams. I mean, they're 21-5 coming into this one. But in this one, it just didn't seem like they had options to go to.
Again, Bobby, the scouting report's out, though. So as they come back around now, they're going to be looking at different defenses coming back at them.
Yeah.
So that's going to be on the players, but also on the coaching staff to really adjust. It's really a crucial period to where we're going to see both the mental and the coaching and their strategic game plan put to the test. Is it, you know, there's a lot coming up here where – And let's face it, they played, you just said it, they didn't even play Milwaukee yet. They played some, they won a lot of games, but they played a lot of good, easy teams too. I don't know. I'm not worried, but this was concerning.
Yeah, I wouldn't go that far, but I think concerning is the right word because it shows that they can go back to this. And again, the bar is high. Again, this team's going for a championship, and this is why I've been tough on them at different times this year. But we'll circle back to some of the tests that lay ahead for the Celtics first. We do want to tell you about our sponsor, Athletic Greens. You've heard about them millions of times from us at this point. I think we've been on it for 7 months now, Nick. Is that possible?
Yeah.
Like, it has been a long time. And look at us.
Next year, Bobby.
We're all glowing. We're all feeling good.
I'm down 30 pounds, bro.
Yep. On the East Coast, Nick and John are working late night here, feeling good. You see that energy from Nick. The boomer rage is in full effect. But, you know, he's calm too. We'll get to calm in a little bit. Like, all the different sponsors we have are to make you feel good. And the physical side is Athletic Greens. Their powder has minerals, vitamins, adaptogens, probiotics, all these different things that you can find individually, but it's going to rack up in price quickly if you go out and get all those things individually. So this is just powder you pour in your water. Each morning you're going to get all of that with a nice tropical flavor, tastes good. The reviews are through the roof. You don't even have to believe us. You can just go and see what other people have said about it, who have bought it. 5 stars. It is just an awesome product. We've all enjoyed using it. And they're going to throw in a year's supply of immune-boosting vitamin D. Very important as it gets cold, rainy. I think it's snowing back east.
It's gonna snow
tomorrow.
Is that
true?
I think tomorrow. It's not yet, but tomorrow it's going to snow, I think.
First, vitamin D is crucial. Yeah, for feeling good through the early sunsets and all of that. And 5 free travel packs if you're on the move, if you're working. Those are great for that. So you'll get all of that. They have some cool gear when you go and try it out for a month. It is just a great product when you go over there and check that out. It's athleticgreens.com/garden. Go and check out everything that they have to offer you over there. athleticgreens.com/garden. So who else do you want to hit on out of this one, Nick? We know Brown was great. Brogdon settled them. The role guys were tough in this one.
The role guys were tough, but that's going to happen when your leader is rattled. That will happen. And the role players a lot of times will kind of crumble as well. I guess what's really probably on the mind of most fans, Bobby, is this really concerning long-term? It's one game, right?
Yeah, it's one game. And get another shot at them. I think this team has responded well to some tough losses this year. But this is the team you're looking to beat, which makes it concerning. I think that's the right word. Like, this isn't panic time. This isn't time to go crazy and freak out. You'll probably get right back on your feet against the Clippers and Lakers. I mean, those teams have been jokes. But, you know,
if they go out and lay a dud against the Lakers, it's going to be very, 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 very upsetting. Because then you will have been gotten punked by Steph and a horrendous Lakers team. I think they lost 4 in a row again. I think they're down 4 now.
Yeah,
LeBron had AD as MVP, he was pissed off that Tatum is not as in that AD is not in the discussion with Tatum.
It's tough when you're 10-15.
500 team. Yeah,
yeah,
he's 9-500 team.
Yeah, and I love the season he's having. I mean, he's going to make it tough on them, but I don't know. I don't think the talent. At times, it looked like, And this is, you know, this is the thing that the Celtics have to grapple with here is like, yes, they were digging deeper into their bench. They were looking at some guys who aren't as talented here. But look at the Warriors. I mean, Wiggins is out in this one. I thought that was golden opportunity for the Celtics, not having him, a guy who gave Tatum that trouble. You're leaning on the young guys we've talked about, Kuminga and Moody and some of these guys in their rotation, DiVincenzo stepping up, a guy who hasn't been there. So you had two teams that were relying on their depth in this one. And the Warriors actually look better, even though they're 500, even though all those guys have struggled. Wiseman's in the G League. Like, they took good advantage. They took good care of those guys, set them up with different opportunities. And that's what the Celtics, you look at the finals, you look at the failures they had late last year in the playoffs. That's what they were missing. The ability to connect, involve a White, involve a Grant, get those guys going. Never mind getting yourself going, which they need to do too. And that's kind of the key for Brown here is, you know, if you look at his game, he was great. Dug them out of some holes. I mean, they got within 8 with 5 minutes to go. Did he make anyone else better tonight? That's the tough part about, like, his game here is, yes, he was crucial. He was great defensively, I thought, too. He had a phenomenal game. But no one was there to make everybody else better. I thought Smart tried at times. You talked about some of those mic'd up moments, Nick. I thought he really tried to pull them out of some stuff here. But no one stepped up and really took control of this game. And that's another thing that looked like the finals.
Yep. You said it all when you said it, bro. I mean, this is fact. And again, not panic time. Everybody says, oh, fire Joe, bring back Ime, trade Tatum. He's no longer – they're all saying it in the chat room, Bobby. And the truth of the matter is it's one game. It's concerning. Yeah. But it's not Panicsville. They're 20. What are they? 20? They have 6 losses.
21-6. Yep.
Yeah. I mean, come on. Like, you can't fluke that many games.
No.
So we sound like we're trying to convince ourselves at this point, bro.
Yeah. And you're right. Again, I think you hold them to a high standard. So you're frustrated after seeing a performance like this on a big test. But overall, you've had that level of consistency and resiliency to bounce back. So I'm interested to see how that message that they sent tonight, that they're not disappointed, they're going to learn from this, they're not frustrated, they're not angry. How's that going to play over the games and weeks to come here? They have some lighter opponents, they have some tougher opponents through Christmas. So are they able to just kind of get back to what they were doing and keep it rolling, or does this one stick with them and hurt them a little bit here? I kind of felt like a looseness around the team heading into this one, which you thought might have played well. I mean, they were kind of joking around pregame in the locker room. You know, there really wasn't much tension or nervousness. Guys were laughing. Guys were yelling back and forth at each other. And then things got tense fast on the court. And Tatum in particular, like, you could just kind of feel the weight of this one on him. And, you know, like, I'm sure that's the kind of mindset that they want to have coming into this one, is that this is just another game. Keep doing whatever you're doing. But ultimately, like, things tensed up fast out there. And it's not even something that you can go back and film and watch, Nick. Like, that's just a feeling and a flow of the game thing with that you have to react to in-game. And they didn't do a great job with it here.
Yep. And that's what you expect. That's the difference we've seen thus far. It's the difference that you didn't see tonight. And it's the difference in the game. It's the difference between a championship team and a front-running team. And I'm not saying the Celtics are front-runners, or they are, you know, fraudulent. But in this game, they look not up to the task. And I don't like the fact that they're coming in loose. Yeah. I mean, I want them coming in pissed off. I want them staring baseline.
You want them locked in, music, headphones in. I saw that with Brown. Brown wasn't in there joking around. He kind of came in, you know, got his uniform on and, you know, put his head down and went to work. And that's the kind of game he had. So I'm not sure what kind of impact that has. But it was interesting to kind of like see that scene coming in and then the way it flipped once they got out there on the floor. And this place was jumping. I mean, the seats were packed. Everyone was lined up. They all had their phones out looking at Curry, seeing what he was going to do. And, you know, the Warriors looked like the Warriors again today. They're that team that's not going away. John, having some technical difficulties. Yep. Doesn't look like he's going to be able to join us here. I will get one more thought before we head out of here. And, you know, we'll try to catch Brown and Tatum before they leave the arena here. But sounds like Rob's return's imminent. Joe, staying, they're not going to rush him, saying that he needs to get in shape. You saw the video, Nick, at practice of him flying around and wearing that big brace.
That limp in that brace, but the limp did look – I mean, John could be an alarmist sometimes, but that when he landed on one foot and bounced, it did kind of look like that, in that practice video.
So what do you think? Do you see him on Monday, or are they going to take their time a little bit here, you think?
If I'm Joe, I hold him out. And I'm going to tell you why. They need to recover from this game. And no matter what happens, when Rob comes back, when you're reintegrating a major key contributor, a lot of times you'll sputter a little bit. They can't afford to have a two-game, three-game, four-game losing streak on this trip. Let's get this game behind us, kick both LA teams in the ass, and then bring Rob back. That would be my thought.
Bring him back against Orlando. That's a back-to-back next weekend. You know, that's kind of a way to ease him in.
And Al, it's a second night of a back-to-back, right?
The Lakers game is on Wednesday, series is Friday, Sunday, so they'll have a day off in between.
So bring him back for Orlando. It alleviates the pressure on him really to come out and be, you know, anything other than just a contributor. And I'm sure they're going to bring him off the bench. Is that what you're hearing? Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, I think that's the plan. So that's a wrap for tonight. You know, we'll circle back over the next days. There's two games, Monday and Tuesday in LA. I'll be down there. I'm heading down tomorrow on
Sunday.
Your
first Lakers, right? This is your first Lakers.
First time at Staples Center. It's going to be fun.
All I'm going to tell you this, Bobby. LeBron. I'm going to tell you this, and I want you to text me. And when are they playing first, the Lakers or the Clippers? They usually play the Lakers first. They're playing the Clippers first
on Monday.
Oh, it won't be as jarring. I want you to tell me the difference at Staples for a Lakers game and a Clippers game. And wait, and both are sold out. Wait till you see it. It's pretty remarkable. Not just from a fan standpoint, but everything from and I think the Clippers PR is great. I really do. But everything from the way the PR has you set up to the lighting in the arena, everything's different. It's like a different place. You're gonna have a lot of fun for that Lakers game.
And I know that, you know, it's crazy. We have some doubts about those teams right now, but Kawhi's gonna get up to play the Celtics, I'm sure. Paul George, those guys are gonna get up and try to, you know, say, all right, these two guys are the best duo in the league. We got something to say about that. And I'm sure Bobby, LeBron and Davis, they're not gonna sit for that Lakers game.
These are two very pivotal games right now after this loss. They become very important. And I know you're not playing the best teams. You know, the Lakers suck, you know, but it could be a make or break, because if the Celtics lose to these both LA teams, I don't see it happening. But if it does, holy cow, they're going to come home to talking head, burning fire, the talking heads. And it could be catastrophic. They need to really, really come out strong. And I think that they will. I think you're going to see them really, really roll over the Clippers and probably beat the Lakers.
I think so. I mean, look at the way they played the Suns the other night. I mean, that there was some kind of statement being made there. And you wish they were able to do that here as well. But those are definitely more manageable opponents in Phoenix, LA, and LA. So, again, we'll be down.
I'm going to leave you with this. Wait, Bobby, one more thing. I can only hope. I can't help myself from thinking the Warriors are like, we're 500, we're rested, and these guys are busting ass, killing everybody in the NBA for the first 40 games. We'll wait until the second 40 games and then the playoffs to really rev it up.
Isn't that something? I mean, it's impressive. Yeah. Like, they, you know, they had this last year too. People were down on them. They're saying they got to make some trades, you know, fix this team. You have that Draymond punch coming into the year. There's some more doubts about them. That 13-13 here. Awful loss to Utah the other night. They get up for this game. Yep. And again, I heard Green on post game, wherever he was giving an interview, said this was just such a crucial loss. And you could see it from Kerr too. I mean, everyone was asking how they're going to guard the Celtics and deal with all that talent and blah, 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 blah. And he comes out post game and is like, that's how you do it. Yep. So impressive stuff.
On that note,
team that's won so many championships now. You saw that 2022 hanging in the banners here, and you know that's still deep set in everybody's mind, that final series. I know I posted some memories from it that were giving some people some nightmares of that June series. All right, once again, Athletic Greens, go check them out. Big reason we're able to travel, do all this coverage for you here on the ground. Great sponsors like athleticgreens.com/gardening. They're giving you all these different bonuses to doing it. So your supply of vitamin D, 5 free travel packs. Again, more gear when you sign up for it. That's really cool. Go check it out. See what they're offering. Rocket Money, great service. Again, before they were sponsors here, Nick, I heard of them. I checked it out. You're always wondering what you're paying for that you're not aware of. The money just falling out of your account.
I was telling John Zanis, I had three BSJ memberships under three different names.
I'm sure you have five money. Adobes. Yep.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, they're, but the thing is, I don't know which ones are like you guys are using. The Rocket Money, I know I only need three. I only need one BSJ membership. Sorry, Greg. I canceled the other two. Thank you, rocketmoney.com/garden.
Yeah. Again, go check it out. See what it can do for you. It's going to give you all the money that's coming out of your account to the unwanted subscriptions, and you can just cancel them right from the app. Makes it super easy, really useful. Again, all the different stuff we're telling you we use, and big plus, really helps you. Convenience, health, and relaxation is the big one. First, rocketmoney.com/garden, but also some love for calm. We love you. You gotta calm down after a loss like this. I see a lot of people freaking out. It is just one game. Get to bed, get some sleep tonight. I know it's late on the East Coast. Calm.com/garden, sleep sounds, meditation, yoga, more. There's something for everybody on there in terms of your mental
Jimmy
health,
Toscano
your sleeping,
snoring.
Your relaxation. Yes. You've seen what it's done for Jimmy. He's feeling great. He's getting his rest right now. We'll see him over the next couple late games here. And, you know, we'll have coverage out here. As we said, big reason why these sponsors like calm.com/garden. Great gift, 40% off. You can't beat that. One more time. Celtics, losers to the Warriors, 123-107. We'll have continued coverage out here. I don't think Brown and Tatum have talked yet, so stay tuned to Twitter and Celtics CLNS for their reaction. CLNS Media on YouTube, Celtics All Access on YouTube for post-game segments from Chase Center here in San Francisco, and then we're on to L.A. Nick, thanks for joining us. Always great having you here on the Garden Report.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks to John for leading it off and trying to work through some technical difficulties there. We'll talk to him on Monday. And you guys, 10:30 tip-off, Celtics Clippers. We'll see you then.